you're smart and work hard, but just aren't where or who you want to be. Welcome to your podcast, Real Confidence. I'm your host, Alyssa DeVere, and I'll be sharing a bit of brain science, some surprising social secrets, and a touch of tough love. Why? Because I believe confidence is everyone's fundamental right and choice. So let's get to it. Welcome to another episode of Real Confidence. We are going to be talking about something that when it caught my attention, I was like, I have to know more about this. I hope you're here for that same reason. We're going to talk about abusive brain chatter. And we have an expert, Jackie Elliott, here with me. And we are so lucky. She is a certified life, relationship, and spiritual coach. So I know our listenerships, our listenership is a little bit of everything, Jackie. So we're going to talk a little bit of all today. You also lead some really cool retreats. And at the end, we'll give people an opportunity to learn a little bit more about those and how to get in touch with you. And if they want to join a retreat, that would be super helpful too. So welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Jackie, we got to start off with this. What is abusive brain chatter? Because it's a phrase that literally grabbed my attention off the page. How do you define it? What is it?
Okay. So abusive brain chatter is that chatter in our head that holds us back. And it's different from schizophrenia. I'm not talking about mental illness. I'm talking about the regular population. And it's like what it's interesting about it is that if you look at what emotional abuse is, which is gaslighting, belittling, bullying, isolating, abusive brain chatter has that same quality. It's the voice in your head that says, oh, you're too fat. You're never going to meet someone. Don't even try. You're going to ask for a raise. Why would they give you a raise? It's that kind of chatter in your head that holds you back. Now, we all have chatter, right? It's just a normal process. Our brain chatters all the time. But the abusive brain chatter is particularly mean and particularly holds you back. And if you listen to it, it will cause you to not take chances in your life. But the irony of it is that it needs to be listened to. It's there screaming at you to try to protect you. So it's a protection mechanism and it's an abuse mechanism. So that's, you know, basically what it is.
Yeah. So I'm going to unpack, you just put a lot into that answer. So I've got to unpack a little bit of the pieces here. Let's go back to the definition and it sounds a lot like inner critic. Are those is similar, same?
Yes. And it is, and people call it the inner critic, but the reason I call it abusive brain chatter is because it's that word abusive. For me, when I got in touch with, I was emotionally abusing myself, suddenly it became not okay. Inner critic is, you know, we all have an inner critic and, you know, if we're doing art, the inner critic comes out. But abusive brain chatter, I didn't want to tolerate that anymore.
Yeah,
and
no, I
so
appreciate
that. Yeah, that's why I name it that.
Yeah. And so also jumping a little ahead in your, you know, this critic or this chatter can be a good positive warning signal. I write a lot about this. I talk a lot about this in all my blogs and podcasts and other people's podcasts that, you know, if you pay attention to some of that information and use it objectively, great. So I think what you're saying is the inner critic is almost on that line of that could be really productive if you let the inner critic just help call your attention. The abusive part of it is where you're like, all right, this is not okay. And this is not something that I necessarily want to use per se productively. I just want it to stop.
Right. Or I want to figure out why it's here.
So why is it usually there? Why does the abusiveness happen? And, you know, again, I'm recognizing you're not a psychoanalyst, but you have talked to many people with this type of abusive brain chatter. So where's it coming from? Why does it happen?
Well, a lot of times, like you said, it is a protection mechanism. So if it comes from, and I talk about the ABCs of abusive brain chatter and how to really get in touch with it. And the C part of it is your core beliefs. So it really comes from your core beliefs. And if you have a core belief that you're not good enough, your chatter is going to absolutely run with that. And it's going to try to protect you. Right. So it's you're saying, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. So it's going to say, you better not go for that job because you're not good enough. You better not go out, you know, you better not go for that relationship because you're not good enough. It's going to just echo what you think, what your core beliefs are. So that's why it's a real important step in the ABCs to challenge those core beliefs and to say, really, really, am I really not good enough? You know, and I liken it to like a little kid who's pulling on his mother's apron strings going, mommy, 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 mommy. It wants attention. And if you just scream at it and say, shut up, it's not going to help the child. It's not going to help you. But if you take the time to say, wow, what? I'm really afraid you're not going to get that job. Okay, I hear you, but I got this. And so there's a whole process that we have to go through, which is to find our kind inner voice. That's the second. That's the believe. So the three, if you'd like me to lay out the three steps to finding out, to clearing your abusive brain chatter, the first is awareness. Be aware of what you're saying to yourself. And be aware of the signs of emotional abuse. If you are saying, maybe I shouldn't go for that job interview. Well, maybe that's not abusive brain chatter. But if you're saying you're so stupid, you'll never get that job. Isn't that a little belittling? Isn't that bullying? Gaslighting, gaslighting happens a lot where you go, huh, I wonder if it was me, or did they really insult me, or was that me, or was that them? You start confusing yourself. And you don't learn how to speak up for yourself. So the ABCs are awareness, believe, and that's the spiritual piece. And I know people go, spiritual piece. But no, you have to be able to tune into something greater than yourself. You have to be able to say, do the work to find that kind, loving voice, the one that's going to then see, challenge your core belief. And so a lot of times what I say to myself is, as that's happening, I'll say, I might say something like, oh, I'm going on Facebook or whatever. And oh, look at me. I look terrible. I look so old. And I say to myself, no, that's not how we talk to Jackie anymore. We don't talk to her that way. And so that's the kind of ABCs. Just really be aware of what you're saying to yourself. Take a week to just write down what you're saying to yourself. And then be aware of the signs of emotional abuse. Believe, find your spiritual center, the voice that you really want to come through, and see, challenge those core beliefs. And if you need to do that in therapy or whatever you need to do, start challenging those.
Yeah. Well, and the belief obviously could be in the spiritual sense, as you said, but I also remind people that what you believe may not be true. So you're telling yourself you're not good enough, you're not ever deserving, and challenging those things, challenge them in an objective way. Maybe a good litmus test is if this was somebody else telling you that, or one of your friends, what would you tell them? And the first thing you probably would say, it's not true, right? It's just what you believe, but that doesn't mean it's true.
Right, right. And that's why it's so important to find the piece that knows that it's not true. I mean, my spiritual center would never, my spirit guide, whatever you want to call it, God, higher power, Buddha, whatever, would never say mean things to me. When I really meditate and I find my spiritual center, I never say mean things to myself. And when I journal and I journal from a spiritual place, I never say mean things to myself. So that's really important. Find that voice that doesn't believe that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, when you say get therapy, work with a coach, find a friend, somebody who can tell you what looks and smells like it's false beliefs, undeserving beliefs, right? That doesn't have to be hard to see that more accurate mirror, but at the same time, just making the effort to do it, that's confidence building. So I do encourage people to follow some of this very sage advice, whether you believe in higher spirit or not, doesn't matter. Reality is, to get that garbage out of our heads, sometimes we do need some help. And I wonder, you know, speaking of giving help, when you talk to people who say they've acknowledged, at least they have that A, that Jackie, you know, I got this crap in my head. I'm really, really want to get it out. Is there something that causes them to finally wake up, to be aware? Is there a moment? Is there a something that happens, or why all of a sudden do they show up?
Well, that's an interesting question, because most of the times when I'm working with a client, they really don't even know they have abusive brain chatter until I start defining it for them. And then they go, yeah, you're right. And a lot of times they'll start, what happens is, and I usually find it with something I call tornado head. And that is where I'll start with a client and they'll say, oh, I'm really bummed this week. I didn't get a job. And you know, it's because I didn't speak up for myself. I never speak up for myself because I never learned how to do that. My mother never taught me how to do that. And her grandmother never taught me to do that. And it's like a tornado head. And they start going with this tornado head. And I start, like you said, unpacking it and going, whoa, whoa, whoa. How did we start from you applying for a job to your grandmother never acknowledge your mother? I mean, I know that's part of it. And we do have to unwind that, because a lot of the voices we get are voices that were put on us, were told. You know, my mother told me it was important to get a man and to be beautiful. And so that became a voice in my head. And if I didn't feel beautiful, well, then I would start with my tornado head and I would self-sabotage. And a lot of addiction is about quieting those voices. So what I do with my clients is, I love this process, and you probably know about voice dialogue. Are you familiar with that process?
I'm not an expert by any means, but I have a feeling nobody else listening is either. So why don't you just give an example or a definition of it too?
Okay. So it was a book written by Hal and Sidra Stone. And what I do in my sessions, and what this is about, is giving voice to both parts of those selves. So in other words, I would say to you, so Alyssa, tell me what part of you really wants to succeed in your job. And you would say, well, that's the success, I'll call her success. And how about the other part? What's the part that's holding you back? Well, let's call that the saboteur. So then we go, okay, now we've got two parts of you. And then I talk to the saboteur, and I talk to the part that wants to succeed. And usually what happens is that they're both at odds, but if they both learn to work, they're both wanting to work for your benefit. That's the thing that usually comes up. So you start to hear those two voices. You start realizing that the saboteur is just trying to protect you. And you realize that the you that wants to really be successful is trying to protect you. So then we negotiate, okay, so now a saboteur, what are you willing to do to allow this person, to allow her to succeed, so you both can get what you want? So we kind of integrate the two parts so that we're on the same page.
Yeah.
It's a simplistic view, but it's really very, very powerful. Very powerful.
No, I love it. I think it's an interesting approach. And you know, I think the key in here, as we said earlier, and I'm just going to kind of reiterate, because it's so important. It's important in everything that at least we do at the Institute. It sounds like it's key to what you're doing. Is there are 1,001 reasons why some of this chatter may happen, but in reality, it is a little bit of a warning, a little signal that when you look at it and you go, oh, there's some data here, and not make it about you or your ego or protecting yourself, but you're looking and go, why did that person just criticize me? What is it that why did they reject me for whatever reason? I apply for a job, I try to apply for a speaking thing. I mean, look, I get rejected all the time, and I have to take that emotional slingshot, which is that's what it is. Somebody's like throwing an arrow at me. That's what it feels like. And go, wait a minute, stop. You know, don't let it go to my brainstem. Don't act like a gay person. Don't get all emotional. look at it. What do I want to do with this? How do I want to handle it? Right. That's hard.
Yeah.
That's hard to do. So in your client work, do you, you know, how long does it take? Is it something that people can master? How long? Or what does a usual fix look like?
You know, it varies. It really depends. Some people, you know, 3 or 4 months, you know, we do a few, you know, they come in, we do the work, they understand where it came from. They might hear their mother's voice in it. We do some work on letting go of agreements that you've made with your family members or with your teacher or with your sisters, or, you know, the agreement you made, I will behave this way and you will love me. So we do a little bit of work on where those beliefs came from and letting them go. And so some people, it can be as few, you know, a few months. Some people, you know, it can take a year. It can take two. It depends upon what, you know, what trauma, how willing they are to go there. And we start with finding that spiritual center. Before we're going to go anywhere, you know, I really want you to feel, just like you said, you need to feel safe, you need to feel grounded, and you need to be ready to face both sides of yourself. And that's where we start. You know, let's get you grounded. I want you to understand that wonderful voice so that we can lay it out and see how it compares.
Wonderful. Now, I mentioned earlier, you do some retreats, and not to make it a big add at this point, but because we will give people pointers. I'm curious, does the process and the efficiency change when people are together versus one-on-one with you?
You know, I had a retreat a couple of weeks ago, and it was very powerful with all of us being together. There was a level of honesty and support. It was a women's retreat. And the results were just amazing with, you know, one of the women was struggling to get her PhD, and she had that chatter that she wasn't smart enough, and she couldn't write her dissertation. And when she left the retreat, she wrote me a few days later and said, I've been writing all day long. I've got a presentation. I, you know, what we do is we help you imagine your, like, she imagined a headdress, and that was her god, you know, her goddess. That was her warrior. And so she said, I just put on my headdress, and when I did my presentation, and it was wonderful. So in that case, yeah, women, I, you know, women supporting women is always very, very powerful.
That's great. Yeah. I think it also helps us realize that we're not, quote, crazy, that this is a relatively normal situation, even for really smart, hardworking, beautiful people. We tend to not just have a little inner critic, we have an inner kiboshier. So needless to say, I am so grateful that you shared some of your pearls of wisdom. People who want to get more and perhaps even look into a retreat, what's the best way to find you?
So my website I have is Healing ABC. It's for abusive brain chatter, or just abusive brain chatter. You can get to me either way. I just want to let people know that on the first Monday of the month, I do a free Zoom motivation where we come together and make things, your dreams come true by setting goals and moving towards the things that you want to move towards. So that's available as well.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us, Jackie Elliott. I am very, very motivated to learn more about abusive brain chatter, new phrase for me, but man, you just opened my eyes and my ears to something that very, very honored that you shared that with me and the listeners here. Thank you.
Thank you.
This podcast was sponsored by the American Confidence Institute. ACI trains smart, hardworking people how to use basic brain science to more effectively coach themselves and others. ACI is endorsed by top universities, the Strategic HR Management Association, and International Coaching Federation. Learn more about ACI's uniquely empowering keynotes, workshops, e-classes, and coaching certification at www.AmericanConfidenceInstitute.com. So before we completely wrap up, I want to let you know that full transcripts and show notes For this and other episodes can be found on the website www.AmericanConfidenceInstitute.com/podcast. I also want to remind you once again that the best way to get confidence for yourself is to give it to others. And you can do it so easily just by liking and sharing this episode on your favorite social media channels. You can even give me some confidence fuel by sending in any comments about the topics I've covered or ones you'd like me to consider for the future. So for now, this is Alyssa DeVere. Thank you for helping to bring more confidence to the world. This podcast was produced by Mindful Media. All rights reserved by Alyssa DeVere and the American Confidence Institute. Music written and performed by Jeff Weinstein.